Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon. I'm Deborah Simpson, sitting in for Michelle Bergquist, the host of Women Who Lead on Women Lead Radio. Today, our guest is Lisa Carman, President and CEO of T3W Business Solutions, Inc. Lisa has built a successful and thriving business, covering the extra miles to obtain numerous business certifications. T3W has 10 business certifications. Business certifications allow your company to compete for the federal, state, and local government business opportunities. Lisa will share how and why you should consider certifications. She will provide expert tips on how to get started with the process and what you need to know. You can visit the website of T3W, and it's linked here at the post, and you can feel like you need a scientific dictionary. After all, what is GIS, and why would an organization need data and quality assurance services, including mapping and charting solutions? So are you curious to understand these business services? Listen in to learn more. So, Lisa, it is so nice to have you as my guest today. It's a very interesting business that you have, being able to get businesses certified for so many of these government procurements.
Well, thank you very much, Deborah, and thanks for inviting me to talk today. So as far as the certifications, we've been in business for quite some time, so it takes some time to get them, get to understand what certifications are what mm-hmm. because each, there's federal, there's state, there's local certifications, and so it's just looking at one at a time and saying, okay, I'm going to go and go for this one. For the federal, which are the most important for us, is our 8A certification, our 8M, which is the women-owned, E.D. Wasby women-owned, and I think those are the two biggest ones for us.
Now, this has really been traditionally a male-dominated industry, hasn't it?
Oh, it still is, very much so.
Oh, it still is. So how did you get into it?
Well, I think that, I've been working 30-plus years, and my background is chemical engineering, and that's what I went to school for. When I came out, I started working in the technical world, and I just kind of knew that I wanted, my parents had their own business, and that I wanted to do that as well, and so I made the leap when my daughter went to, I guess she was in elementary school, it's been a while, but a very good learning experience for me, and I'm very content with it.
But you have numerous business certifications. So can you discuss part of the process that women owners need to go through and give us an idea of the length of the process?
Well, it depends on the certification. If they're going to federal with 8A, which is really for just minority-owned businesses, or women who have found challenges in their life, either through work or otherwise, they can apply for the 8A. The 8M is the E.D. Wasby or the women-owned. There's two different categories. One, the E.D. Wasby is more for, they have certain NAICS codes or services, and those, there's not that many women own businesses that work in those areas. So they've kind of segregated those out and saying, we're going to give more preferential treatment for the companies that do those services. And I'd say the 8A, it would take a good writing the whole thing up. It probably 9 months to a year to get your certification. But I would say just
wow.
do it. If you're able to do it, just do it. And the 8M, if you're an 8A, you go ahead and get your women owned. But they also have a program where there's you get a number and there's third-party organizations that are doing certification. You can self-certify or do that. So from what I understand, it's better to go ahead and you can self-certify through the SBA. It's easy. Or you can go in and through a third party. And the third party, it's taken – we decided to do it at the beginning of the year, and we still don't have it. So we're looking at 8 months now.
So the one-year process definitely is the time length, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think so. But for ones that are local, for example, I think that the city of San Diego has some Caltrans, California. See, I know we have all those, but I don't work in that arena as much. Those don't take as long to take to get your number.
Because they're at the local level?
I don't know. You know, they're not as extensive. The 8A and women-owned, it is amazing how much information they want, and you just need to go through the checklist, and it will be a binder that you turn in, and I mean electronic binder. But it's just the thing is not to let it overwhelm you, and just do it, and don't have fear, don't have second thoughts, just do it and put in the best packages you can.
So once you're certified, how does that help you obtain the government contracts?
Well, what it does is there's several areas, you know, you could be a hub zone or you can be a veteran-owned or 8A, a woman-owned. So these are the set-asides for the federal. And so there's only one that they can just sole source, and that's the 8A. And they can just give you up to $4 million. And people go, oh, well, that's great. Once you get your 8A, you can just go and get rich, and it's not that way. You have to market it, and it takes years to get to know the system. And so I would suggest if you do get it, be fearless, be professional, and just keep going and learning as much as you can about how the system works. And then building relationships is paramount, building relationships in the industry is very important, and teaming on different opportunities. So the other thing is that when they do put out 8A competition, and so I go after those. I go after women-owned. I go after small business. It just depends on what the bid is.
Now, do you continue to do the presentations and the pitches yourself? Or do you have a staff person that does that for you?
I think that there's nothing like the owner of the company giving a presentation of the company. Of course, we have people here who also do presentations, and it just depends on what is the event or what we're trying to do. But I try to represent the company as much as possible in face, I just think it's paramount, because then they know who you are and the sense of what your company is. Culture is very, very important, your values. And so I think that they get that sense when they meet you.
When you're in that presentation or pitch, is that a back-and-forth conversation that you have with them?
It depends. If you're going after a bid and they're doing orals, it's not back-and-forth. They just ask you questions. So... If you're going and introducing yourself, telling them about who you are, of course it would be back and forth and pretty much back and forth. I'm very open to that. That way you get more information as well.
Yes, I would think so. And I know recently you were the winner, the President's Award at the CWI, Connected Women of Influence, Women of Influence Awards. Do you think that winning and being nominated for business awards influences your clients?
Yeah, I think it does. But what more importantly influences me, Owning a business and doing this work, it is never about me. You know what I mean? I don't think it should be about the owner. It's about the team and what do we want to do and where are we going to take this? And I'm going to circle back to your question, but as far as for me personally, I don't think I've really ever had a mentor. I've had people who have supported me, people I've been able to talk to, but not a mentor. And I think it's so important to open that up to women, and because if it's just you and you don't have another person that's there to kind of, put your ideas against or your questions, then you at times can doubt yourself. And believe me, I have many times, but I just fearlessly go. I'd say, okay, I'm going to go. But it was just getting this award it meant a lot to me because it after, you know, all these years, 12, 13 years, that I was recognized, and I very much appreciated that. And Michelle and her group, it's just phenomenal what they're doing. And I think that we need to support women more and give an avenue of in the public saying, you know, look what these people have done. How can we make this better for women overall?
Yes, I know I'm a little biased. I've been a Connected Women of Influence member for a long time, but the caliber of women that participate in Connected Women of Influence is far above any other organization I've experienced here, and I really enjoy being part of it. There's very collaborative women and very talented women out there too, and I'd love to see more of them getting into these certifications so that they can grow their business in new ways.
Of course, I think so too. I think that, and there are, if you go, there are small business reps for every single federal agency, as well as for the city, the county, and Caltrans, and it's going and building that relationship and saying, you know, and there's classes, there's so much out there to help women start, or anybody really start, and so it's saying, take that fear blinder off and go, just be fearless and go. And it might seem so overwhelming, but it's just take one step at a time, and then you'll turn around 3 months from then, you'll go, wow, look what I did. And then 6 months, you go, man, you won't even remember it. So and then just after you get one, you'll get another one, and it will help you.
You mentioned that there were classes. How would a woman business owner find those classes?
Well, I know that the COC, and they might be a different name, Contracting Opportunity Center, they have classes. They might have a different name, but the COC definitely has classes, and that's here in San Diego. I think it's in Mission Valley and Caltrans. So it would be talking to them and saying, oh, Small Business SBA holds classes. They have several of them, and saying, you know, I'm interested in this. Where can I go? And they're free. SCORE.
Yeah,
SCORE is another good one.
Yeah. Well, the SBA SCORE is an arm of the SBA, and so I guess the SBA would be a great starting point.
I think so.
So for the listeners who might want to get in touch with you and maybe find out more about your business, how can they contact you?
The best way would be to call my office. It's 619-298-0888. And then to identify that you heard me on the radio and that you had a couple of questions. Right now it's our busy season. We're doing a bunch of bids for the federal government, usually from July till the end of September. If you're doing federal contracting and do get certifications, then this will be your busy season. But I will be glad to talk to anyone who calls.
That's great. And could they visit your website?
Of course. It's www.
That was it. What is your website address?
It's www.t3w.com.
Oh, very easy. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Short and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, earlier you mentioned GIS. why would a business or organization, well, first of all, what is GIS and why would a business or organization require it or the service?
Sure. GIS is a, it's called Geospatial Information Systems, and we make, as an individuals, we probably make, I'd say 80-90+% of our decisions are made based on a geographical location. And so if you think of like MapQuest or Google Maps, it's kind
right.
of, that's what we do, but on steroids. We do it for military, primarily for the military. And, you know, we've mapped probably over 250 bases, and that's any of their infrastructure. And built applications that use geospatial technologies to make decisions and to present information. So it's, if you could think of a huge amount of data that you could be able to visualize on a map and then say, well, what if I did this or what if I did this? And then it could automatically change and you can make decisions based on the information that was shown. So it's a wonderful, wonderful tool, and you could probably pick anybody, small business, large business, in any industry that could use GIS.
Wow. Now, I understand that you go out to job sites. Do you wear a hard hat when you go out there?
Well, in my earlier days, I did when I worked as an engineer. There's the last time was last year, and you know, I still have my steel toe boots but I'm looking forward to, we're waiting on this one bid, so I'm looking forward to doing it more often.
Yeah, in my early career, I worked for the Sheraton Corporation, and we were building a hotel in downtown Los Angeles, and I had to have I didn't have to have steel-toed boots, but I did have to have a hard hat, and I was young at that point in time, so I finally had to put a little sticker on the front of my hard hat that said no when I got that. When some of the gentlemen working on this site were like, oh, would you like to go out? So
yeah.
I still kept the hard hat, though. I haven't been able to give it up yet.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I understand that you also coach TED speakers. Is that correct?
No. Not. I think TED speakers?
Yeah,
that's
in my questions here.
Is it? I don't know. Maybe someone talked to me and they did a talk. No, I don't remember.
Have you given a TED talk?
I've not given a TED talk, no. I've given talks before, you know, just about women in business and at different organizations, but not a TED talk, no.
And when you speak to them, women and women in business and organizations, are you inspiring them to go through this process for their businesses so that they can get more business from the government agencies?
Well, it's kind of a, I think everybody, if that's what they want to do, I think everyone has their personal, what they want, where they're going. I try to inspire people to listen to what their desires are and to be fearless. And if it is to go and do a federal business, great. Then if I can help them, I'll help them. But it's really the most important thing is to do some deep thinking and to say, this is my vision. This is what I want to do. And not this, and this, but this. This is what I want to do. And how am I going to go do it? And it's telling them, reach out. And there's so much out there that is available, but you got to have your vision.
And if they have that fear factor, how do you talk to them about becoming fearless?
Well, you know, I even deal with it. It's everybody, you know, I think that there's so many places, you know, there's love or there's fear. And so I think... And I think, you know, judgment is kind of a fear-based thing, is I whenever I look at something and I judge, I'm thinking, okay, well, then I'm plugging into that thing instead of plugging into my vision and my path. So I try not to do that. I try to catch myself and just be very much focused on where I'm going. And it's just continually being good to yourself, I think, as best as you can, and just reminding yourself, because we have so many different things that influence us on a daily basis. And it's just coming back to who you are and what you want. And that is it.
That's a great way to put it. I mean, we do have to just kind of go boldly forward. In your early career, did you have challenges that you had to overcome, and how did you overcome them?
I did. I had a number of challenges, and a number of them. I mean, I even remember in college it was a fluid dynamics class, and a bunch of guys didn't want me to be in the lab with him because he said out loud in the class, "Well, she's a girl. She doesn't know how pipes run." Mm. And so, anyway.
Oh, wow.
But that was years ago, too. Let me get back to your question, though. Your question was, again, would you mind me? Because I'm kind of going off on a tangent here. Because the mindset of our society is that women should succeed and should have the same rights and everything should be the same. But we aren't there, actually. Boots on the ground, kind of, our society still is not there. So I believe we still have significant challenges. For me, it depends on what challenge, right? What challenge are you talking about? But it took me, I think, many years to become more confident in myself and say, you know what, if I focus on that person who didn't support me, then, you know, you have to support yourself. You have to let it go. You really do, and just say, you know, this is where I'm going to go, and be relentless. Because if that person's treating you poorly, just think how they're treating themselves.
Yes. Yeah, and I think sometimes we are, as women, a little bit too hard on ourselves and should really go ahead and just take that chance. I mean, what do you have to lose?
Exactly, and we judge ourselves too considerably, I mean, mm-hmm. horribly, and when you get to that place, you go, shoot, I'm doing that. Just let it go. Don't guilt yourself, or just say, okay, I'm just gonna switch that switch and focus on where I'm going, because then you kind of just you get into this swirl, and you go deeper and deeper instead of, you know, elevating yourself, and everybody. Everybody has challenges in life, and it really doesn't matter. It matters about what you do with it. And, you know, that old saying, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of what you, how you react to it. I truly believe in that. And I can't tell you how many naysayers I've had. One time an old worker, a gentleman I worked with before at a larger company, I think I was year four in my company, and he said, so how many people do you have? And I said, about 20. I mean, the guy about fell down. And I thought, wow, he really is very shocked. So you just continue going, you know, and it will happen. It will happen. But you have to be,
now,
I try to lead my life with a kind heart and give back as well, but not let people take advantage of me as well, too.
Yes, I think leading with your heart is such a good quality to have when you're in a business like this. I know that you train a lot of people. Do you incorporate your neuroscience in the training?
No, that was just an interest I have as far as, you know, just dealing with different companies. Yeah. It was just an interest I've had, as well as it's kind of that, and graph analysis, analyzing handwriting is another hobby of mine. So.
Oh, yes. I have a friend who does that. That's really an interesting. Well, share a little bit about it.
Oh, it's just been, it's one of those things that, you know, it just calls my attention. I remember people's handwriting, and years ago I started studying it, and so whenever I have a moment here or there, I'll I'll read up on something and I'll go, oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't had much moments here recently, but still, it's something that interests me, and I found that a lot of the things are true.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've seen people doing it, and I've heard my friends share stories about it. And so what do you do in your off time then when you're not working?
In my off time, I work. I have a daughter. I have a wonderful daughter, and so I see her as often as possible. She just graduated from college and is working in Houston now. So we see each other quite a bit. We're very close. I enjoy graphical analysis. Also, I'm pretty artistic. Whenever I get a chance, I will, just starting to take up watercolors and drawings. And I used to do that quite a bit when I was, you know, very young. So I like to read as well.
Yeah. Yes, our 31-year-old just moved back in a year ago. So it's been interesting having her back in the house and just seeing she was gone for 10 years and then wanted to make a shift and leave. She was in the Santa Barbara area. To have them come back and watch how much they've grown in the time they've been away from you, I'm sure it's kind of difficult for you to have your daughter so far away from you.
Yes, she went to my alma mater, which is Texas A&M, and so I thought that was good for her. She was just so courageous and didn't know anyone and went and was very successful, very proud of her. But before she left, I said, you have to come home to Mama, and then she didn't. but she's got a very good job in Houston, and we'll see where it takes her. She's just phenomenal, and I think that she's got such a great future ahead of her.
That's great, and I'm sure she's been incredibly empowered by you as well.
Yeah, she was, I think, when I started talking about that, 6 or 7 years old, and so she's seen the whole thing, and it wasn't easy at all, and, you know, I do have some regrets because it took so much time. It takes a tremendous amount of time, but that's part of, you know, forgiving me and continuing to build my relationship with her, and we've always been very close, but still, we didn't go to all the, you know, SeaWorld things and the movies all the time, and because it's just I was working so much, but she has kind of my same work ethics as far as really as a hard worker, but she also takes time for herself. She's more balanced that way, which is good.
So let me ask you this, which I did not prepare you for, but I'll ask you anyway. What should I have asked you that I didn't ask you?
I think that, let's see here. I think maybe what is starting your own business and being a business owner? Because that goes back to that deep thought of your vision and what you want to do. Because it won't be about you. Even though it's your vision, you need so many other things from the outside world. And how are you going to do it such that you will do it in a positive way? You will contribute to the society in a positive way and also get what you want or you need. And then it's just keeping your eyes open for those wonderful, wonderful things that just happen. And you go, thank you, God.
There you go. Well, that's a beautiful way to end the interview today. Lisa, it has been a pleasure to talk to you on the show today. And I want to thank you for being a guest on Women Lead Radio. Thank you so much for being a guest today.
Deborah, it has been a pleasure. You're welcome and anytime.
Thank you. I am Deborah Simpson. I am sitting in for Michelle Bergquist, who hosts Women Lead Radio. thank you for spending time with me today and learning more about the art of the small business community. And remember the words of Napoleon Hill: think twice before you speak, because your words and influence will plant the seed of either success or failure. Until next week, we hope you have a safe and prosperous week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.